We're reminded that Jesus is the sunrise from on high. The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Luke 1:38-39.
Psalms 103:20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word.
Luke 15:10. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over sinners who repent.
Revelation 5:11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands.
Revelation 7:11. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God.
Let's pray. Oh God, whom saints, shepherds, and angels delight to worship you in heaven, be ever present with your people here on earth, and grant to them, even now, glimpses of your beauty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. I was noticing when they was reading, I don't know if I do this, but you notice how all their voices was deeper? Especially Landon, who's right out here. But good job. I appreciate the willing to participate in that. It's a very important thing. And I talked about it last week. Something we had not done in the past is Advent. This last several years I've been here. But it's been really good. Makes you stop and think. Makes you look forward to what's coming, what we're celebrating, not just getting through this time of year, which so many people do. We have allowed it to turn into something was never meant to be. And I got to be quieter. I'll be on the message this morning. But good to see everyone out this morning. Glad to see we're getting some back from being sick and different things. I know we still have some working different places. But excited for this time of year. I'm ready for next Sunday night. Don't forget that, our Christmas play. The kids will be putting it on. And I have heard all about these commercials that I'm ready to see. And kind of upset they didn't let me produce one of them. I had a great commercial. They're doing, of course, in Bethlehem of in Bible times, and I had an idea to do a commercial on Jake from Snake Farm. Didn't nobody else like it, but I thought it was good. So, but I hear we've got some good commercials in our. The title of it is, what is it, Evening News? What's the title of it? Evening News Hour. So don't forget that. Come and support them next Sunday night. I know there's several grandparents won't get to come because of sickness and different things. And we always wind up with it at the same time of every other church in the county. But it's the only time we found that people can participate in it. So if you can, come and support our youth. They put a lot of hours into this. They'll be practicing again this afternoon, I'm sure. So they put a lot of time and effort, and we can support them, and look forward to this time of year. As far as prayer request goes, I ask you that you remember us as we have brought my mother home with hospice. Not the best time of life, but I understand it's something everybody goes through. And so I ask you to be with my family as we go through this time, and I know the support y'all pray for us. I appreciate that, and really means a lot. We had some good friends that helps different things, so God's going to get us through it. I know it's going to be tough, but we're going to come through it. Can you remember Maldy? And of course, remember Terry's family as he lost his sister, Jane. They'll be having, I think, the funeral will be Tuesday. A visitation, I think, from 11 to 12. And then the funeral will start at 12 there at the chapel in the funeral home. So if you get a chance, go visit the family. And if you can't, just pray for them. I know that's what they desire most of all, is the prayers. Any others that I'm forgetting? Anybody that's left out? Of course, Kenny and Grandma, remember her, them? And I text her, and she told me Friday she's getting better every day. So I know she's ready to make dressing for Christmas or a pound cake or something. Anybody else? Have no others? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this time of year. God, we thank you for what it means. You sent your son for us to die in our place and that we can have life through his death. And God, we thank you so much for that. Lord, the ones that's been mentioned today for prayer, God, I pray that you touch them in a mighty way. God, where the death angels visited, I pray you comfort that family. And I know they have comfort in knowing that that loved one is forever with you in a much, no suffering, no pain, no physical sickness, no tears. All those things has passed away. The Bible says everything's become new. So we thank you for that. God, we ask you to bless as our singers come this morning. God, we'll get everything out of our minds, everything off our hearts for just a minute, and we'll focus on you, and you'll bless us in a mighty way. God, we ask there to be one here this morning that don't know you. God, they will before they leave this place. If not, that your spirit will draw them, and Lord, they'll come to know you before this day is over. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and has saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. Chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by
played my drum for him. I played my best for him.
With me. Christmas Day. They're all familiar carols play. Mild and weak, their songs repeat. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing, like a choir they're singing.
Peace on earth.
In my heart I hear them.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And in despair I bow my. There is no peace on earth, I say. For hate is strong and marks the soul. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep.
Peace on earth, peace on earth.
The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. The world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant, some light. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they're ringing.
Appreciate that great singing this morning. I love the many things about the Christmas season, and the music is one of them that is great, and I really enjoy it. And the Silent Night, just nothing gets you more ready for Christmas than hearing the song Silent Night. If you get your Bibles today, turn to Matthew. You've done been there once because Kim was going to preach my sermon up here this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, but I'm going to go through 23. And we may be in this verse for a couple weeks, but I want you to see something that we are so guilty of taking this time of year and doing our plays. And again, y'all know I love plays. I love doing these things. But we say the words a lot about our Christmas story, if you will, but I wonder how many times do we really understand the importance behind them? And the one we're going to preach about this morning is the virgin birth. That's one that we say it a lot, but do we really understand why Christ must have been born by a virgin? And I hope today, maybe if you don't, maybe you'll understand a little bit better why this was a necessity, why it's very important that it be that way. And I began thinking about our Christmas plays and how we take that to that Christmas story and we get it ingrained in our mind from the time we were a little child. We can see Mary riding to Bethlehem on a donkey, which is not in the scripture. I was thinking about the other night about a message on the innkeeper. I saw it somewhere else in scripture, and I've been preaching for, now it's my call to preach, December the 14th, 2008, so several years ago, and I caught myself going back to the Christmas story trying to find the innkeeper. Not there. We put a lot of things in there that to make it a pageantry, to make it beautiful. And again, I don't think there's nothing wrong with believing Mary rode on a donkey. I believe she probably did. Nothing wrong with believing there's an innkeeper. If there was an inn, there probably was an innkeeper. But listen, we tend to think that, and we get it in our minds. But listen, the virgin birth is not man-made up. It's God-made up. It is the way that Christ was to come, and it's the most important part of Christianity. It's the bedrock. It's the very bedrock of our Christian faith. If you took the virgin birth out, then we're just an ordinary religion. And I understand we have a risen Savior also, but the virgin birth is very, very important. Matthew chapter number 1, verses 18 through 23. Says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child with the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all these things was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we thank you for that virgin birth. Father, I pray for a little while that you'll let us see why it must have happened, the importance of it happening, and God, why it's important to each one of our personal relationships with Jesus, of why the virgin birth had to be as it was. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The virgin birth was prophesied 700 years before, people say. But I challenge you to find that it was before that even. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, and the virgin birth is there. And oh, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and stop right there. You go anywhere else throughout the Bible, and you'll never find anywhere that it's mentioned of a woman's seed. You go anywhere else in the world, you'll never find anywhere that it's ever mentioned of a woman's seed or a lady's seed, because it's a man that has the seed, it's not women. Women in the reproductive process has an egg. They do not have a seed. The reason the seed was there, because this was placed there by an holy God. This seed that was to be Mary's seed was the very son Jesus, which a man had no part in. Joseph had no part in this, nor any other man. The Bible plainly says this was put there by the Holy Ghost of God. And I began studying this, and I read several different authors. Adrian Rogers was one of them. And he said, listen, you must believe the virgin birth, but you do not have to understand it. And boy, I'm glad he said that, because I cannot understand it, and you cannot understand it, but you must believe it. And if you cannot believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, then I got some bad news for you today, then you're not saved. Because that's in the truth, it's in the Word of God that tells us, Jesus tells us many times in Scripture, we must believe. Never does he tell us we must understand. I preached about understanding last week. Most of the things God does, I don't understand. I sure don't understand how a virgin can conceive and bring forth a son, how he could live a perfect life, how he could die a terrible death and save me from my sins. My friends, I can't understand that. But listen, I can believe it. I can believe it. And it says, put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is speaking of Jesus. This is speaking of the virgin birth. So all the way to Genesis, this is foretold. And then you go forward to Isaiah chapter number 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that word we know means God with us. And there that 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah prophesied of him. Now you tell me that this book is not God-breathed. That this is not God's word. I cannot believe that. One of the reasons that I know God exists, I know God is who he says he is because this perfect word. There's people who've tried to deny it, who've tried to say that it's full of fallacies, that it's full of contradictions and all these things. I have not found them yet. If you'll study the Word of God, you will not find anything wrong with it. It is the Word of God. It's God spoke it, God preserved it, and God has it for us today, that you and I too today can believe that Jesus is who he said he was. He was born of a virgin. The very first place we see it, of course, was the gospel mentioned. Is in that Genesis 3:15. The Bible uses phrase or seed. Women that have seed, we know that man did. But listen, why was it important? What did it matter that Jesus came that way? And by the way, before I get there, I want you to see anything else. We're so guilty of thinking in our little human minds that on December the 25th, although we know that was not the true day that Jesus was born, that's the day we celebrate it, but we get caught up in our minds believing that when Jesus was conceived in Mary, that then he began existing. That's not the truth. The truth of this thing is that Jesus has always been and he will always be. When he come forth as this child that was born of a virgin, he come forth into the earth as a man at that point. But he has existed from eternity's past. He always has been. He always will be. Don't ask me to explain that. It makes my head hurt. But he does. And he has. John chapter 1 verses 1 through 2. This proves it to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's plain. The Word. Jesus is the Word. He was there from the beginning. You go on through those verses in John, it'll say everything that was made through him. Everything that has been made by Jesus. Everything that ever will be, been made by Jesus. So that when he come forth on this day we're celebrating was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. The beginning of Jesus Christ, me and your minds cannot comprehend it. It was way before ever and ever and ever. So we must move on because we'll get caught up in that and go in circles. The purpose of the virgin birth. Have you ever thought about that? The purpose of the virgin birth. It's very simple. The Bible teaches without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. When the sacrificial thing was set up, God had it to be a perfect animal. It had to be without blemish, without spot. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. When they was leaving Egypt, first Passover was to come, it had to be a perfect lamb. It could not be sick. It could not be blind. It could not be lame. It had to be a perfect lamb. And listen, each one had to take that lamb. So the reason for that virgin birth is in Hebrews chapter 10, and it's long, verse 1 through 18. But bear with me, because you have to understand this, to get this today about the virgin birth. For the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then will they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he come into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that it may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Thank God for that. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You see, the very purpose of Jesus coming of a virgin birth was for a perfect sacrifice for you. A perfect sacrifice for me. So why? Why in the world did it have to be through a virgin? Why couldn't it have been just a family who had a child and that child was raised to be good? You can go back in the Old Testament. You can find one of those in an old man named Samson. He was raised as a Nazarene. He never cut his hair. He never done any of those things. But guess what? Old Samson was a sinner, and Samson had a problem with women. Samson had a lot of problems, but one of them was with women. And so listen, Samson was trying to be raised to be the great redeemer for Israel, but he had a problem. He had a sin nature. And Jesus Christ never had sin nature. He was born of this virgin. I had a book. I didn't preach out of that book, but I preached some of the stuff that was in the book one time, if you remember. It's called The Chemistry of the Blood. Dr. Dehan wrote this book in 1945. He's a medical doctor and also a doctor of theology. And in this book, he states he studied countless hours in those days about when a fetus is inside a mother's womb. And listen, the blood of the mother never is transferred to that fetus. If it happens, the child dies, especially in that day. The child would die. The child would not have been born. So this blood cannot have passed from Mary unto Jesus. The only way the blood is put there is through the Father. It's through the seed. So that's why it's so important that there never was to be a man that had anything to do with the birth of Jesus. It had to be a virgin birth, because this thing was placed there by the Holy Spirit of God, which was completely holy, completely sinless. And this baby that was in Mary did not have the blood of Adam running through its veins. Me and you, we have the blood of Adam passing through our veins. You trace it back as far back as you want to go. I heard some of the kids cutting up about, I have to pick on Landon today. Landon and his girlfriend's a little bit kin. She's looking at me worse than Landon is. Y'all don't worry, it's second cousin. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. They're way, way down the road. They could tie some marriage stuff together. We was aggravating them about it. And they said, don't worry, you're in Alabama. It'll be fine. But no, seriously. And one of them said, well, if you trace it back far enough, you can anyway. And that's right. You trace our blood back far enough, it goes back to the blood of Adam. And you know what Adam did? Adam sinned. Eve sinned. So because of Adam's sin, my blood is connected to a sin nature. Your blood's connected to a sin nature. You cannot help it. You are a sinner by nature. We talk about it all the time. You take the sweet little babies, put them in a room, boom, you see the sin nature. You take the prettiest little child there's ever been, and you think they won't do anything wrong, and you never, ever, never have to teach them to lie. How many of y'all's kids has ever done anything? You ask them who did that? Nope. They learn it from a very small age. You never have to be ingrained in them. This sin nature is put there. And because of this, Jesus had to be born of a virgin. This is very plain in the scripture. Let me find it for you. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. So if you've got the blood of Adam, the only way you pay for that is death. It's a payment that has to be made. So the only way you skip that is leave Adam and go to a new creature, which is through Christ. And through this, your sin debt is paid. And what a glorious gift it is this time of year to understand that a virgin conceived a little baby and brought it forth to die in your place. To be a perfect sacrifice for you. Something as vile and as nasty as you are. And you know who you are. I don't know who you are. I know who I am. And I know the vileness that's in me. I told you about Billy Graham. Said how he knows evil exists because it's in his very body. It's in his very nature. Me and you today, we understand why evil exists because we know the thoughts we have. When somebody does you wrong, you say, I'll get you back. You just wait. Boy, you don't have to think about that. You don't have to conjure that up. It comes to you the moment somebody does something wrong, that nature pops up, don't it? Y'all, it's okay to say yes. Adam, all died. So you see how it'd be impossible to have a perfect sacrifice come from sin nature. You could not have it. God could not accept it. Now you say, well, God's God. He could have done anything you want to. Yes, he is God, but he's completely just. And completely just, he holds himself as just as he does you. And he knows that it wouldn't have been right. He could not have done it. It wouldn't have been legally correct to have done any other way than to have a perfect example. This man, Jesus, he was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He never, ever sinned. Do not buy into that if anybody tries to teach you that he wasn't born of a virgin, that he was married to this one woman one time and he done these things. That is not biblical. It's not the truth. Jesus Christ was a perfect, sinless sacrifice that was born of a virgin. And you know what gets me about this? I was thinking about this week. You've got people, even in biblical seminaries, who will say, well, maybe the Bible's wrong about this virgin birth thing. Because some translations has turned the virgin into a young woman. My friend, a young woman and a virgin is not the same thing. There's a lot of difference. I can't understand how they say they believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God. And if you search up the very meaning of God, you know what it is? An extreme being that we can't even understand. Supernatural. He can do anything. Tied to the name of God is all power. Tied to the name of God is nothing is impossible. We say it all the time. Nothing's impossible with God. And we believe all of that. And then we'll have Christian people teach it in Christian colleges, or say they're Christian. And they'll say, well, maybe, just maybe the Bible's wrong, this virgin birth part. My friend, if you can believe in a God can do anything, why do you have such a problem with a virgin conceiving a child? If you believe that God spoke and those stars went where they went, if you believe God spoke and those oceans was hemmed up where they hemmed up at, if you believe God took his hands and he made a pile of dirt and he spit in it, he made some clay there, and he made a man and he breathed into this the breath of life, if you believe that, why should there be a problem in believing a virgin conceived? But many people, even in the Christian realm, have a problem believing in a virgin birth. If you've got a problem believing in a virgin birth, you don't belong to Christ. Because listen, we're going to get there in a minute. There could not be forgiveness unless that. Thirdly, the personal importance of a virgin birth. Personal importance. I think it's important that we understand when it was prophesied. Yes, it was prophesied 700 years before. Even before that, it was taught about in Genesis. And somebody said the other day, well, I've hunted and I can't find. Where's the earliest part that Jesus is mentioned in Scripture? I believe Genesis 3:15 is the first part the gospel is mentioned. But Jesus is first mentioned in the beginning where it says, let us. Those us is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who those us was. So Jesus was mentioned in the very first part of the Bible. Now you can go from Genesis to Revelation and it's all about Christ. There's not a part in there that can be taken out. It's all about Jesus. And I believe that Mary was the one that God chose to use. And I believe that thing. I don't know why he chose her. It was God's will to choose her. That's all I can tell you. And I don't know why he should have been born in Bethlehem because it's house of bread. Understand that part. But listen, all these things I can't understand. And all of them really don't matter to me. But listen, what matters to me is why is a virgin birth important to me personally? Why is it important to me personally? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, by quickened by the Spirit, or made alive by the Spirit. Why does it matter? A virgin conceived. Personally, what does it matter to you? This verse right here speaks volumes. The just for the unjust. That precious child that was born of the virgin was given in your place. You see, in eternity past, we say that word a lot around here. Terry mentioned a lot in his class. I mentioned a lot preaching. But in eternity past, before anything, before you was even given, by the way, God thought of you way back then also. But listen, in that, God knew that he was going to create you. He knew who your mother and daddy was going to be. He knew what county you was going to live in, what city you was going to live in. He knew the things you was going to do wrong, and he knew all of that. And in doing that, he said, I desire to have that one back with me. And in doing so, I realize that I must make a way to happen because Adam is going to sin. When I create earth and I create man, Adam is going to fall in the garden. Him and his wife's going to partake of what I tell them not to. They're going to be sinners. And I'm going to want them back with me. And listen, those out there, each and every one of you, he desired to have you in a back relationship with him. So in doing so, he had Jesus born of a virgin. A perfect sacrifice. Yourself. A perfect sacrifice was given for you. Something more precious than gold. something more precious than all the money in the world. Oh, you take all the money that all these rich people in the world's got, it don't come close to giving what you was given when you was given the gift of that virgin birth. You was given the only thing that could reconcile you back to God, which was a perfect sacrifice. You see, you are completely imperfect. You're completely black. You're completely sin has ravaged you. Sin has separated you from God. And God desires to have you back. And in doing so, God had to make a way. He had to make a bridge, if you will, to bridge you back with Him. And it had to come through the way of a virgin-born, perfect, sinless sacrifice. Being put to death in the flesh. I've heard people say, even scholars that say, they don't know if Jesus really died on that cross. The Bible says He did. They say, well, maybe He was asleep. Maybe He was in a coma. Maybe He was this. Maybe He was that. I want to tell you today, He was born of a virgin. He was crucified in a terrible way. He died because, by the way, the Bible says they stuck a spear in His side and out come blood and water. And listen, they said He was put into a tomb. And I know you can argue the three-day thing, but listen, the Bible says 3 days, so we go with that. He was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And listen, after that, He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And my friend, if you have a problem in believing any part of that, you don't know the Lord. It's that simple. From the virgin birth to the resurrection, you must believe it all. Never, never will you have to understand it. Without the virgin birth, there remains a payment to be paid. Is there anybody in here? I know we got some sons and daughters in here, parents. Is anybody in here that's never done anything wrong? Ashton raised her hand. She lied quick. We may have some children we think do nothing wrong, but I promise you, when they're out of your sight, they're sorry as the next one. When the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, they're talking about teenagers. There's none of them good. I wasn't good. You wasn't good. None of them's good. They're all sinners, and only hope they got is Jesus Christ. And you was the same way. And when you got out of your mother and daddy's sight, you acted like a heathen. Be honest. There's a debt left to be paid that never a perfect man has been born but the one born of a virgin, which was Jesus Christ. There's a debt that nobody could pay. The only... You have to give your life. You see, eternity is forever somewhere. Everybody's living eternal. It's every eternity in hell, separated completely from God, or it's eternity in heaven with the Savior forever. That's the only two ways. This sin debt was paid through that virgin birth. Unless you believe that, there's no payment for your sin. Without the virgin birth, Mary's children would be tied to Adam and me and you. The other children Mary had, guess what they had to do? They had to believe in the perfect sacrifice of their brother to be saved. They had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Can you imagine? Me and you think it's hard for us to believe in Jesus and get people to believe in Jesus. What if you had to believe in your brother or sister and believe that thing is perfect? Now, I've had all these, one of them missing this morning. But throughout time, and even in the Christmas season, you know what they've already said? Well, Ashlyn's mom was a perfect one. Ashlyn's the best one. Y'all like her more than you do me. Could you imagine seriously what them brothers must have went through? I don't really know how many children Mary had. Some of y'all may. I don't. But the rest of them was tied to Joseph, which was tied to Adam, and they was lost in their sin nature. But the one she was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, was perfect. The virgin birth is the best gift you have ever been given. You may have gotten a new car sometime in your life for Christmas. You may have gotten a new house. You may have been like that lady on TV where she brings her husband in these two phones or something and says, here, I got you one, blue and red. He walks outside and there's two new GMCs sitting there, and he said, I got us something, blue and red. She chose his pickup truck. I don't know how people get something like that for Christmas, but you may have gotten something like that. But you have never got anything that compares with a virgin birth. This gift. This gift that was given on that Christmas morning we celebrate. That little baby. You see, we tend to think, oh, how sweet he must have been. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We've got that Christmas pageantry all up in our mind. We see how pretty it was. Oh, that little thing, that little trough. And there it was with them pretty little cows and pretty little sheep around. And all the truth of it was a stinking, nasty feed trough. The Son of God, the King of Kings, was born of a virgin, laying in that manger in a nasty area we wouldn't dare to have our children born in today. He come for the lowest of the low. He come for the highest of the high. And he come to give you life. Not only give you life, but give it more abundantly. You see, this Christmas season, as you watch our Christmas plays, as you watch them on TV, as you read them to your grandchildren, do not forget that virgin birth. Do not forget the importance behind that virgin birth. It had to be. It had to be. And I'm getting done early. You're going to beat everybody to the restaurant. But I'm going to read you something by Adrian Rogers wrote. This caught my attention. He says, you see, if there were no virgin birth, there'd be no sinless Christ. No sinless Christ, no atonement. No atonement, no forgiveness. No forgiveness, no hope of heaven. No hope of heaven, we would all die and go to hell. Thank God for the virgin birth. You see, all that's nice to hear preached and to hear it taught and to watch in Christmas plays. The gifts I preached about this morning just a little bit, you can't critique that thing. It is perfect. You can't find anything wrong with it. You realize most of the gifts you give your, especially your family, like where you meet over at your sister's house or their house, most of the gifts you give them, you know what they're going to do with them? They're going to either throw them away or re-gift them. You know why? Because it's not what they really wanted. It's not what they really needed. And if you'll be honest, the only reason you bought it was because it was on sale at Walmart. We do the same thing. Well, he could use this and it's cheap. Let's get it. You see, I don't know what you really need. You can even tell me what you think you need. But this gift was made just for your soul. A precious child that was born of a virgin. We'll hear it thousands of times this Christmas season. We'll hear it preached several more times probably in this church this Christmas season. What does it mean to you? You see, I wish I had a bunch of money. I wish I had $1 million, Rudy. I'd take that $1 million and I could lay it in the middle. And I could say, the first one that gets to it can have it. And I better back out of the way because I'm about to be run over. We would all kill one another to get that $1 million. You say I wouldn't do it? Well, I've seen what you've done on Black Friday. But that $1 million, you'd say, man, that's the best gift I could ever have. There's preachers all over this land today that's offering the best gift, the only gift that will reconcile you back to God. And there's people that will turn around and walk out that door lost and undone without Jesus Christ. And the gift is right there. Not any place in history will you ever find where Jesus pushed himself on anyone. The woman at the well, he didn't push himself on her. The blind man that he healed, he didn't push himself on him. It tells in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open, I'll come in. In our language, he'll come in and be Lord of your life. The best gift has been prepared. The only way that you could be saved is through a virgin-born, perfect sacrifice. It's been prepared for you thousands and thousands of years ago. Even for eternity past, it was prepared. The question today is, have you received it? Have you received it? If everyone would please stand. And Pat, if you'd come play softly. I remember when I was a kid at my grandmother's, the old house my brother lives in, we'd be around that Christmas tree and there'd be some good smelling food been cooked and we'd be eating. And I remember sitting there, my uncle he's always mean to all of us. He was the one that give out the presents. That was just his job. You wasn't going to do it, that's his job. He's the meanest one there. That's what he wanted to do. I remember sitting there, they'd call somebody else's name. You say, doggone, I know I got one there somewhere. And they'd keep on. But boy, when he called your name, you'd run up there and you'd snatch that thing out of his hand. You see, my grandmother had bought that gift for me, but it wasn't mine until I took possession of it. Then it became mine, and I played with it for about 2 days, and I threw it away probably, or left it laying in the yard. The gift has been prepared for you. Your name is on it. This perfect sacrifice has been prepared for you. I don't know. I know some of you have been here every Sunday since I've been preaching here, but I don't know your heart. Have you received this gift? This virgin-born child that was prepared for you before the foundation of the earth was founded. He told us in Job last week, before he stretched it out, before he measured it, this thing was prepared. Have you received that gift? Have you took possession of it? Is it yours? You say, well, I've been to church for 50 years. I think I would have inherited it. No, you have to reach and get it. Spirit of God calls your name as my uncle would call my name for that gift. The Bible teaches unless the Spirit of God tugs our heart and draws us, we cannot be saved. But when that Spirit of God calls your name and offers you that gift, then and then only can you receive it. And it will not be yours until you take possession of it. Don't leave this place this Christmas leaving the best gift on this bench. You see that $1 million I talked about? If I had it to give to one of y'all and you received it and it would be yours, I would not have to worry about you leaving it on this bench. I wouldn't have to worry about you getting to the yard and deciding that you lost your best gift. You would take it with you. This morning, just between you and God, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've received this gift? The perfect sacrifice that was born of a virgin, sinless, spotless, Son of God. Have you received him? If not, I beg you to come. Don't worry about pride. Don't worry about anything. This thing's forever. This gift is going, it's better than a gift that keeps giving. It gives throughout all eternity. If you hadn't, will you receive it? And if pride is keeping you from doing it here because there's people, and they'll think you've been a fake for all these years. When you get home, when you get in your car, you see, the reason we want it done here is because we want to brag about it. I'm just like anybody else. I love to hear the good news. This is a good place to come to Christ. But you can come in your car. You can come in your bedroom. You can come driving down the road, at work, at your desk. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't say you got to be in New Harmony Baptist Church. Give your life to Christ before it's too late. Don't leave this world without that gift. As she plays one more verse, we'll open the doors of the church, accept members any way the gospel authorizes. Don't leave here without a present.